welcome to another edition of Wrestling With Myself. I am your ever humble host, Chris. And as I said last week, or 2 weeks ago, this is the start of a brand new a feature. We're going to be doing two episodes a week from now on. One for Raw and another one for SmackDown, just because I feel like I've been kind of misrepresenting SmackDown. Not that it's a boring show or anything like that. It's just that I've been neglecting SmackDown. So we're just going to do two shows a week from now on, and we'll just be going at it that way. Let's talk about Raw. Raw was really, really good. I know earlier in the day there had been some speculation about Rhea Ripley as to whether or not she was going to be vacating her title last night, which unfortunately she had to because of an injury that she had sustained, quote-unquote, last week because of Liv Morgan. I really liked the way the story went. I think the only way it works is if Liv Morgan is the one that becomes the next women's title holder, and then she holds on to it until Rhea Ripley gets back. I think that's the only way it works. It can't be anybody else, which kind of stinks because, honestly, the one person that, and we all know where I'm going with, the one person that would make the most sense would be Nia Jax, but that's not going to happen. I like the fact that they really didn't kind of tell you what was going to happen. I like that just because it was kind of a spur of the moment type of deal where they didn't know. I like the fact that she basically said, whoever holds this title, I'm coming after you. And then Liv Morgan kind of comes out and is like, well, I'm right here, you know, like, let's go. And I really like, I like Liv Morgan. I do. I just because I feel like they have to put her in there and she has to hold on to the title for the time being. So who knows? Who knows whether or not Rhea Ripley is going to have surgery or not? Who knows? It just kind of stinks right now, especially since she's held that title for 380 days, a little bit past a year. So that stinks. The other big thing was the fact that they changed the tag team titles. I really like the new look. I absolutely hated those tag belts with the two gladiators. I absolutely hated it. I thought they were just so cheap. I just didn't like it. And once again, it kind of just proves that they are getting rid of any and everything that Vince McMahon had his paws on. By putting out new tag titles, which I'm actually very happy for, you know, especially since they were red and blue, so you knew which one was which. I just like the fact that it's brand new, it's something different, and they're basically just kind of allowing, you know, they're allowing it to be different, and they're allowing it to be that way. And I think that's what makes the most sense. The other thing that they really kind of talked a lot about, which happened on Friday night, which was Jimmy getting kicked out of the Bloodline, Tama Tonga, and Solo Sikoa align themselves together. I really like it. I really like where they're going with it. I also really enjoy the fact that it's basically going to be at some point another Bloodline civil war in many cases. especially with the fact that Jacob Fatu is going to be also joining them at some particular point in time. Tama Toga is the son of Haku. It just makes everything about what they are doing makes so much sense. And it's really going to be amazing. And I really like it. I like I love the fact that they kind of, that after, I know I'm going everywhere, I apologize. I did not write notes. The thing that I really liked was after Rhea Ripley vacates her title and she walks up and there's the rest of Judgment Day and they all just hug her and basically just tell her that, hey, you know, we've got this. You're going to be fine. You know, just remember when you get back, you're still Rhea Bloody Ripley. And I just really, really like that. I like the fact that they really showed on how much they actually care about each other. And I just really enjoyed that. The thing that I really, really liked, and it was something that I enjoyed, was the fact that Finn Balor was really kind of like, hey, like, we need to be getting back into thinking about getting our tag titles back. And Damian Priest immediately is like, no, you need to worry about Jey Uso right now. That's what you need to worry about. And it was like, okay. And it's all been, and it plays back into what I've been saying about how they can break up the Judgment Day by having Damian Priest be the champion now. Damian Priest isn't worried about anything else but being champion. You know what I mean? Like, you knew that was going to have, that was what was going to have to happen, you know? Just because if Finn Balor kind of looked at him like, okay, like, really? You really want me to be the one? You know, it was our tag team titles and I still want mine back. And I just kind of like the fact that he kind of gave him a look like, I'm being pushed aside. It was, the whole thing really made a lot of sense. And I love the fact that Dominic and JD McDonagh are basically like, hey, go take care of Andrade. You know, have his back. You need to take care of this because he made us look bad. And I think that's one of the things that really kind of gets me is that Dominic is really, really good. I think that he works so much better as a heel now than he ever did as a face. And I really like the fact that he's the one that he is very good at getting the heat and enjoying the heat. You know, there are certain people that just don't like the heat, but he enjoys it. And I think that's what's so great about everything is the fact that he's like, yeah, what are you gonna do about it? Like, you know, it just makes me happy to see that, just because of the fact that they are very, very good at it. I wanted to get back on there because getting back into the bloodline, Jacob Fatu is he's been, he was at one point the longest reigning MLW world champion for 819 days. He's a cousin of the Usos and Solo. And I thought this was very interesting, is that he credits seeing his cousins on TV as the reason why he got out, why he reformed out after prison. I like the fact that it's basically like the three of them, they're like the toughs. Like, they're a little bit more brutal, you know, as opposed to what the Usos and Roman were doing. So it's going to be very, very interesting. And I know a lot of people keep saying that even like Sami Zayn's going to join in on this. I think Sami kind of should stay away from it, but who knows? Again, I'm not a writer, so I don't really know about what's gonna happen. Because the draft is happening in a couple of weeks, I don't know exactly how they're gonna fix. I don't know how they're gonna do it. Just because here's what I think, and this is kind of where I'm at. I think you let Cody be on Raw. You let Cody be on Raw. You let Damian Priest on SmackDown. You let Damian Priest be on SmackDown. You let him kind of do his own thing on SmackDown, on the regular television, just because we all know that Raw is going to be on Netflix as of next year, and SmackDown moves to USA, and NXT is going to the CW as of next year as well. So everything as far as television is concerned, I think everything kind of changes at that particular point in time. And I honestly think that if I'm Netflix, I'm saying I want the major star right now. And that's kind of what I think they're going to do. And I think USA is going to be like, yeah, we'll take Damian Priest as our champion. We'll let him be that. Also, just because I think certain people work well on Raw. That, and also I think Samantha Irvin as the announcer works better that way than anything. But I'm pretty sure that we're going to be getting certain people changing on the things. Do I think like Sami Zayn's going to go to SmackDown? He could. It would make the most sense, especially if you put Logan Paul on Raw. You put Logan Paul on Raw, you put him on SmackDown, you put Sami Zayn on SmackDown, and then you have kind of, you let that kind of be where you're at. But again, I'm not too sure. I try not to read too much of the dirt sheets, only because if I read too much of the dirt sheets, then I feel like I get, I get a little too comfortable with where I'm at on thinking things, and then they completely and utterly fuck you over. Like, I thought it was funny because over WrestleMania weekend, you had heard that Tama Toga had signed with WWE, and that there had been all these rumors about how he was going to come out and help Roman, and that he would essentially be the reason why that Tama Toga would help him win the title. And I honestly just thought that was very, and I was like, okay, like, I doubt it very seriously, just because you still need to do a lot of different things if you're going to sign. Like, when is, you know, like, is he going to actually, you know, like, in my head, I kept thinking, okay, well, if he were to sign, does that mean he has to fly to Philadelphia, get his physical down there on WrestleMania weekend, and then sign, and then be, and then know exactly what he's going to have to do? Like, it just didn't make any sense. The sheer magnitude of getting in and out of there without people seeing made little to no sense at all to me. So there's that. I did kind of want to talk about one of the things that really kind of bugged me is the fact that for two straight weeks now, Cody has had to mention the fact that he didn't want to talk about The Rock, but then yet still talks about The Rock. And it's like, okay, like, really, do you really have to? Like, just because he's gone does not mean you have to let us still know that The Rock did what The Rock did, you know? Like, when is it going to be where we don't have to mention him anymore? You know what I mean? Like, that, to me, makes the most... It's almost like an awkward pause in the conversation. Like, hey, hey, I said it, you know, 8 days ago, I was in this ring and The Rock came down and he handed me something. And I said I didn't want to talk about it anymore. But then you're still mentioning it. Like, just leave it alone. You know, don't talk about him until you absolutely have to talk about him. But it's one of my few gripes. The thing that I really, really enjoyed, and I know I'm talking about Raw, but the thing that I really loved about SmackDown was that Solo was so pissed about the fact that Cody was now in their old locker room. He hated it. And Heyman's like, hey, he's the champion, he gets it, you know. And I love the fact that Paul Heyman was kind of like, hey, you know, we will get ours in the end. Like, we're like a phoenix, we will rise from the ashes. And I was like, okay, cool. And then when they're in the ring and they're talking and he's like, you know, by orders of the tribal chief, we are not going to do anything. Like, we have to lie in the, you know, essentially we have to lie in the bed that we made. And I love the fact that he was like, you know, winning and losing and there's consequences for losing. And Heyman immediately is like, oh God, like, I'm in trouble. And I love the fact that he like starts screaming, oh no. And then Solo just like pushes him aside, like, no, you're not my issue. And he looks at Jimmy. And Jimmy looks at him and goes, really, you're gonna do this to me? Like, I'm your older brother. Like, I'm, you know. And I love it. He just, and it was so good because of the fact that it was so awkward. He just walks up to him and awkwardly hugs him and says, you're my brother, I love you. And then Jimmy immediately smiles and was like, "Yeah, you're my brother. I love you too." And then Tomatoga just hits him from behind. And it was like, oh my God, like, really? This is what they're gonna do? And then they just lay waste to him. And then the beatdown happens and everything. And he Simone spikes him. And then they wrap the chair around his head and he hits him with that devastating move that Umaga did. And it was like, oh my God, like, wow. Like, Jesus, like, that's nuts. And then after Heyman gets out of the training room and he's like, "I just don't understand, what's going on." And I love the fact that that Solo breaks the phone for Roman and everything, and then Tomatoga just looks at him and says, "By order of the tribal chief." And like everyone's like, "Well, what the fuck does that mean? What the fuck does that mean?" It's like, come on, like really? Like it again, and I said this last week. I hate the fact that I've been watching wrestling for so long because of the fact that it's like we all know who's gonna be it. Anyone, like I just don't. I wish I didn't know everything about it, like because eventually The Rock's gonna come back and he's gonna have that necklace around his neck, and he's the tribal chief, and everyone's gonna fucking lose it when The Rock comes out and is the one that did everything, just because I honestly think that that's what they're gonna do. I think that's when the 3-on-3 match is gonna happen, is gonna be at SummerSlam this year, and then I think that's when The Rock comes back, and he lays waste to the Usos and Roman, and then that's when everything else kind of happens. The match that's supposed to happen on Friday between AJ Styles and LA Knight, and we all kind of figure that AJ is going to be Cody's first opponent. I like that a lot. Damian Priest versus Jey Uso is going to be a good match at Backlash in the France. I think that's going to be a good one. I just really think that this is going to be a very interesting time. It's a very interesting time right now. And I just really love, I really love it. I like the new tag team titles. I love the fact that they swerved us and thinking that Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae were bickering, and instead Indy kind of cheats her way into a victory with Candice, and it's like, oh, like really? Wow, like because Indy kept like it was almost like they were arguing about it. Like Indy was like, "Why are you doing this? It makes no sense." I like that. It kind of just didn't make any sense that the two heel teams are moving along for the tag team titles. But again, that's just me. Also on SmackDown, that's supposed to happen. Bayley versus Naomi. As I've said plenty of times, Naomi got a raw deal when she had to relinquish that title. She's never been She's never really sniffed that title ever since. It's nice to see that she's actually going to get a shot at it. But really, we all know Bayley's going to retain just because you don't win the title at the grandest stage of them all just to lose on a free episode of SmackDown. It just doesn't make any sense. I was kind of shocked that DIY won in that triple threat tag team match to become the number one contender. Mainly just because I really thought the Creed brothers were going to win. But you know that they're trying to build something with DIY. You can just tell that they are. I know a lot of people on the internet kept saying that this is where Chad Gable was going to finally kind of snap and turn heel. And I thought it was an interesting idea at the time. And I was like, no, there's no chance he's going to actually be doing that. Why would he do that? And then all of a sudden, it's like, no, he did. And wow. You know, Chad Gable, I've always liked Chad Gable, and I really like the fact that he's going to be a heel again. So you kind of figured that's another match that's going to happen at the next pay-per-view. It's going to be very, very interesting. That's all the time for me tonight. When the draft happens, we will be doing it exactly like I said, we're going to start doing things. We'll cover it on Saturday after Friday Night SmackDown and on Tuesday after Raw. And then on pay-per-view weeks, we'll just do something where I'll do one episode on the week for Raw, and then we'll do something on Sunday for the pay-per-view, and we just won't cover SmackDown unless something interesting happens on SmackDown, which more than likely never really does happen, just because the SmackDown before a pay-per-view never really changes too much. So until then, I will talk to you all later. Have a good night. And if you want to look for me, look to the skies and follow the buzzards.